Listening to your new best friends podcast, and here are your hosts, Tabby and Mike.
We're good. Yeah, we're hot.
Oh, I'm going to send you something. It's in three parts.
Oh boy.
Yes.
Is this something I need to read? Is this something
you need to read?
Oh, that looks long.
No, trust me, you'll enjoy it.
Am I reading this out loud?
Oh yeah. That's why I couldn't tell you, and I couldn't send it to you early.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, should I tell you about my Philly trip now, like before this or after this?
Isn't this the podcast right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, right. How do I introduce it again? We haven't done it.
We don't do it anymore.
Oh, okay. It's your new best friends podcast, guys.
Yep.
Welcome back.
Some other time.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, tell you about Philly now?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sending me that?
Yeah, I'm sending you all three.
Okay.
Real quick.
Mm-hmm.
In them, they'll have a few, a set of four hashtags right
okay.
at the end
oh,
of
I
it,
see,
like
I
right
see.
There. That's me.
Like, you're going to say that?
I'm going to say something.
Oh,
that's
okay.
for you to pause.
Could have just said, like, Mike speaks here or something. But no, but hey, yeah. You know, and I like the way you work.
Perfect.
You know what I mean? So
Philly, let's go.
Michael, you're not ready.
Probably.
For my Philadelphia experience. Now, for the listeners, I went to Philadelphia on Valentine's weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Went for 2 days, one night.
Okay.
And everything that took place that I'm about to tell you all about took place in broad daylight.
Perfect.
And it's critical to understand and know that. And not only did it take place in broad daylight, but it took place in Center City, which if you're unfamiliar at all, that's a nice area, okay? It's a very, you feel safe, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So, spoiler, don't go to cities anymore. I'm done with cities.
No cities
I won't go to cities anymore, and I simply just won't do it. And you'll understand why.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, and by the way, remind me to talk to you about Salt Bae and Robert Downey Jr.
Okay, gotcha.
Just put that somewhere. Any hoodles? So, get to Philadelphia. Let's just fast track through everything.
Mm-hmm.
I am walking through Philadelphia with my girlfriend, broad daylight.
Mm-hmm.
And we are walking to go meet two other friends for a brunch. And as we're walking, this woman who is in just a nightgown, and she was only in late 20s, early 30s.
Okay.
She's being, I want to say chased, but they're not running, by a man wearing a book bag, dressed for the occasion. It was February. So he is trying to calm her down. She is running away from him. But, you know, it's a real, like, you know, it's just like a little funny walk away.
Mm-hmm.
And he is trying to call her. It's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where she gets so disgruntled, she rips off her nightgown.
Oh.
She is naked.
But ass naked.
Broad daylight.
Mm-hmm.
Center City.
Mm-hmm.
Running. Now she is running. Through the streets. She ends up getting corralled by him.
Oh.
And, oh, yeah. And, I mean, you know, nobody's paying this any mind, okay? Nobody is paying this any mind. They're walking around like this is normal. They know her or something. Who knows?
Like in America. Go ahead.
Yeah. So she is now sitting on the dirty concrete, naked, butt naked. He's trying to cover her up. Clearly, they're together. So that's on the way to brunch.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did not know any of this. This is awesome.
Yeah, no. So then I also dodged a pickpocket scheme.
Oh.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. So a lot of people, they'll, you know, they try and talk to you on the street, whatever, and you just gotta, you know, blinders on, dead ahead, keep going.
Mm.
So that's what I'm doing. This guy goes, hey, I need your help. He's a well-dressed dude. You don't think anything. I still keep my blinders on, and my girlfriend doesn't like any of this stuff, so she's very much like, just keep him moving.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I don't need your money. I need your help. Come here for a second. I need your help with this. So there's a man standing there, and he is holding, like, a little cardboard thing, and on the cardboard thing are three bottle caps and a little fuzzy ball. And the guy who called me over was like, look. He's like, this guy, this is rigged or something. This guy's telling me all I got to do is pick the fuzzy ball out from underneath here and he'll give me $100.
This is a cartoon. Okay, go ahead.
Michael, this isn't even the best.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay. And now, so the guy who called me over, he's holding a wad of cash in his hands. Okay. I mean a fat wad of cash, mm-hmm. right? And he's like, this can't be true. And the guy was holding the little cardboard thing. He's like, listen, whether you want to play or not, I'm getting paid either way. Mm-hmm. So play or don't. And he was like, the rules of the game are you got to find the little ball underneath which cap I put it under. He was like, you put up $100, I'll pay you $100. You just made $200. That's his little, you know, you never actually have to pay him. You just have to show him that you have $100, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the guy's like, he picks a bottle cap. He picks the wrong one.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, it's not that one, it's that one. And he was like, and he flips it over and he's like, oh, you got it, you got it. And so the guy's trying to coerce me now to say, he's like, oh, you're good. He's like, why don't you put up $100? Clearly you make a lot of money doing this. Mm-hmm. Now, my girlfriend and I are standing farther back, right? Because we don't trust anybody, right? You know. So we're standing farther back. And another man walks up on my left and he's like, hey, what's going on? And a guy explains quickly what's going on. And he pulls out a wad of cash. I mean, like drug dealer wad of cash, okay? And he's like, what? It's that simple? And then he picks the wrong bottle cap. And I'm like, no, it's that bottle cap.
Building meanwhile, your confidence is absolutely high right now. Babe, I'm like, pay the mortgage.
I'm like, I'm killing this. Yeah. He's doing it so slow too. Mm-hmm. It's not even like fast when he's mixing them around, man. It was crazy.
My God.
I have both my hands in my pockets, just like, because it's cold out, right? And also, I don't trust anybody. Mm-hmm. That guy who second walked up, he starts winning money, and he was like, "Well, technically, you helped me." And he goes to hand me the $200, and I'm like, "No, I can't take that. I can't take that, right? Because I know this is a scam, some way, shape, or form. I'm not walking away with a free $200. You know what I mean? That just simply doesn't happen." And he's like, "You don't want your $200?" And I was like, "I don't want this at all. I don't want this at all." My girlfriend is like, "All right, let's go. Time to go now. Time to go." We end up walking away. And then as we're, like, talking about the situation and what happened, I was like, that was definitely, like, a pickpocket scheme. But you and I both had, we were side by side. But, like, we both had our hands in our pockets and we were farther back from them. So there was no way. That third guy, or that second guy, I should say, who walked up, he was definitely there to try and pickpocket me. I was meant to be distracted by these two dudes while he probably tried to get into my pocket. And what they probably kept doing when they were picking the wrong one, I'm using air quotes here, was... they were probably trying to get me to take my hands out of my pockets and point to the right one. But I never took my left hand out of my pocket. And, of course, my girlfriend's on my right. So the whole time, I never gave them the opportunity.
Now, see, I was under the impression that he was trying to get you to take the money.
Yes.
Then pull out your wallet.
Yes, that as well. That was what my girlfriend said, too. She was like, they were either trying to pickpocket us or they were trying to get us to pull out money in front of them. Neither of the two things happened, obviously. We both just walked away, carried on about our day. Fine. We get to the brunch. Philly's fucking wild, dude. Okay. We get to the brunch. We leave the brunch. And I'm like, now it's like 1 o'clock, right? And meanwhile, all this stuff takes place. It's like 11 o'clock in the morning, right? We're only at the brunch for like an hour and a half. Now it's like 1 o'clock. I'm like, oh, I really want some coffee. So I'm like, all right, there's Dunkin' Donuts right there. There's people standing outside the, you know, just like regular people on their phones, drinking their coffee. It seems like a safe environment, right? You know, because we've had a shaken day. So I'm like, all right, we get our coffee. We're standing outside. I light a cigarette and she and I are just talking. Not three pulls into my cigarette, a guy walks up to me and he's like, do you play sports? And I was like, no, I just don't want to deal with anybody. I did play sports. But I was like, no. And he was like, you sure? And I was like, no. And he was like, even in high school? I was like, no. And he was like, well, you look like you do. You got nice teeth. Happy Valentine's Day. Walks away. Michael, not 2 seconds later. Another man, as I am turning to my girlfriend, he'd be like, that was weird. Another man walks up to us. Okay, this man is dressed like out of a safari. Okay. He has like a white shirt tucked into his cargo pants. It's February. With like a safari hat on and a camera around his neck. Okay? And he comes up to me and he's like, hey, be careful about that guy, all right? You know, I was standing in that Dunkin' Donuts last week and next thing I know, he's got his hand in my pocket. He's trying to pickpocket me. You know, you got to be really careful in Philly lately. This place is going to shit. And he says whatever the name of the Philly governor is. He's like, that guy doesn't give a fuck. He was like, there was a guy a couple weeks ago. He killed his girlfriend, chopped her head off, and he hit her in the garbage. He was like, and then a couple weeks before that, there was another guy. He killed two women on the street, blah, blah, blah. Just met this dude. He is about, I'm not even kidding you, about a foot away from my face. And he's like, this place is fucking going to shit. That's why I keep this on me. He lifts up his shirt, pulls out, unholsters.
Please, a machete?
An 8-inch hunting knife, Mike.
Perfect.
My girlfriend, in unison, he pulls it out and shows it to him. In unison, we're both like, oh. Unfazed. He does not see the fear that has washed upon us as he pulls this out. Now I'm eyeing this guy. Come to see, he has a pocket knife on like a carabiner thing around his wrist that he now is flipping up and down. He keeps, like, he's not opening it, but he's just like throwing it and letting it go and catching it, and then throwing it and letting it go and catching it. He puts his little thingy back. when my girlfriend and I see the knife, it could have been a Glock, it could have been anything. We would have the exact same reaction. We are stuck right now. Mm-hmm. There's nowhere we can go. This man proceeds to go on in something. Now, clearly, I understand he's crazy, right? Because at first he came up, you're like, oh, he's a nice guy. He's looking out for us. You know what I mean? He's trying to tell us that guy was a pickpocket. Everything went south. Then he proceeds to tell me that he's going to be very rich very soon because he is suing his dead father for molesting his sister, his family. It's worth over $2.5 million. He should be receiving roughly like $300,000 very soon, as soon as that lawsuit goes through. And he's also friends, because remember, he has a camera around his neck. Mm-hmm. He's also friends with the head over at Nat Geo. Okay, oh. National Geographic.
Hence the outfit.
Well, of course.
Okay.
And so, spoiler alert, it's a crazy, crazy small world. Mm-hmm. The head of Nat Geo, his friend, as they were in a helicopter ride taking pictures of a safari somewhere, he also confesses that his father molested his sister.
Oh.
So then he proceeds to tell me that... you know, I should get a camera, and he's just waiting to win the Pulitzer Prize, because then that's going to have him take off, and I should get a camera, and I should get the hell out of here, and, you know, make better use of my time. My girlfriend is now trying to fake a phone call. We're only about 2 minutes. This is all within, like, 2 minutes. This guy's just screaming in my face. I'm smiling, because I don't know what to do. I'm, like, laughing in this guy's face, because he is just blurting the craziest shit to me.
Mm-hmm.
And she's pretending to make a phone call. That he gets very upset about this, right? Because, you know, she's taking away his new best friend.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's like, what's your name? And she says her name. And he was just like, and what's your name? And he turns to me, and I said a fake name. Mm-hmm. And he was like, all right. And he like keeps trying to talk to me. And she's like, oh, we gotta go. And then we get the hell out of there, and I just keep looking over my head, you know, because I know this guy, he's got a fucking 8-inch hunting knife that he has no problem unholstering in front of me. So, and then we leave. And then I told her, I said, listen, you can't leave me standing anywhere. I said, for whatever reason, like every 60 seconds, a crazy person's gonna spawn if I stand still.
My God, I so badly wanted, like, the head of Nat Geo to come out of that Dunkin' Donuts and say, that athletic lesbian had some nice teeth, right? All right, let's go. They just, like, walk off together.
Did she play sports? Did you find out she played sports?
No, she just, look at those shoulders. You know she can dunk.
It was a wild, wild, wild turn of events, Michael. It was unpredictably wild.
I'm starting to think he was not okay.
Yeah, that was a bit of a takeaway for myself as well.
Oh, the knife. Was that like a threat?
No, I guess he was trying to show me that he can protect himself. Mm-hmm. Like, because the city has gone to such shit that this is how he protects himself.
Gotcha.
Right? So, I mean, just from eyeballing the man, he had two visible weapons. Right? God only knows what was in his boots.
Oh my God.
Wild.
Got some nunchucks between his ass cheeks. He's ready for war.
He is.
Yeah.
A wild, wild individual just hanging around Center City outside of a Dunkin' Donuts. There were other people standing there.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else had this issue. I don't know what it was. I don't know why these people are drawn to me. It's everywhere I go. It's everything I do.
You can see it. You can see it on you. You have a very warm aura about you.
That's what she said, too. She was like, we can't go anywhere. I was like, you have to keep me in a car or something. I was like, I can't be out. I was like, because we were standing still somewhere else, and I was like, we can't stand here for too long. I was like, because right now, around the corner, we don't know it. There is a crazy person making their way to this street, and they don't know why, but they know they got to get here right now.
Like, if you're in New York, right, you're walking down the street, and somebody hands you something, you take it, don't you?
No. I take nothing that they give.
Okay, I always take it.
Oh, Michael.
I don't know.
That elicits a conversation.
Oh, 100%.
They think you want to talk to them.
And I don't.
So anyway, I want to quickly tell you about this revelation that I found out, that Robert Downey Jr. is not Salt Bae.
Oh my God. This...
Okay, so I've only ever seen the, like, notorious picture of, like, him dropping the salt. To me, that looks like Robert Downey Jr. Now, for years, I have just assumed that was Robert Downey Jr. I just thought it was a quirky little thing he did. You know what I mean? It was in the Iron Man or whatever. I'm like, I don't know. He does weird shit.
Oh, you're saying that you thought this was him for real and not like a character?
No, yeah. I just thought he was fucking around and people started calling him Salt Bae because he did that little thing with his hand one time and someone took a picture and it went internet famous.
Oh.
That's what I thought. I mean, and I'm talking up until like 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I see people posting about how they've been going to Salt Bae's restaurant and how it was really shitty. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, I'm like, well, yeah, it's going to be shitty. He's not.
He's an actor.
He's an actor. Yes. He's not like a restaurateur. Like, his food's going to be crap. I'm actually very shocked that the man even has a restaurant, but I guess why not? You mm-hmm. know? I mean, why not? Corner of the market. So then I see someone else post about how there's a woman who is wildly obsessed mm-hmm. with Salt Bae. And I'm like, why don't they just call him Robert Downey Jr.? Like, it's like, this joke has been going on for years. Just let it go. So then they start posting other pictures of mm-hmm. Salt Bae, and it comes to my attention.
Yes.
Because I'm still I am still convinced when they're showing the pictures, I'm like, what is this guy work at the restaurant or something? I'm mm-hmm. like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, where's Robert? Like, why are you guys, why are you guys harping on one of the employees?
It's Robert.
Come to find out, mm-hmm. Because the video that I saw was like this woman who is wildly obsessed with him. She like photoshops herself next to him and stuff. It's some wild behavior. So then I do a quick Google. I type in Robert Downey Jr. Salt Bae. There's no links. There's
no. Really? This isn't the first time you've done things like this.
There's nothing correlating the two of them. So then I was like backspace on Robert Downey Jr. Mm-hmm. I just love Salt Bae. And this plethora of pictures comes up of some man that I've never seen him before. I don't know who this man was. Turns out he is Salt Bae.
Yeah. Ponytail? Mustache, I think?
In the one picture where he's doing the salt, you don't see his ponytail. And it looks like Robert Downey Jr.
No.
Pull up your phone real quick and pull up that picture of him. Just type in Salt Bae. Like, that is the most notorious picture of him. And he looks like Robert Downey Jr. Now, I've told this story to multiple people, and they did say, while as stupid as I was for having this wrong for so long, mm-hmm. That particular picture, that one.
Oh, that one.
Not that one. That one looks like Robert Downey Jr. to me. Like,
a little.
Enough to where if you never had any context when the picture first came out, I was like, oh, Robert's being quirky. And then... And then I never thought about it again. And so that's all my updates.
Who broke the news to you?
That video. I found it myself. And then I had to text a few people to get like real confirmation. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, good for you for admitting it.
Yeah, I got no problem with that. You know what I mean? I got a guy who's showing me a machete. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Listen, bigger things are happening in my life than finding out that. So,
fuzzy ball.
Can you imagine?
I'm glad you didn't fall for it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I didn't have any money on me anyways. Mm-hmm. You know, 2022, who's got cash like that? That's why I was also, like, very shocked when they both put out, like, drug dealer money. I was
it
like,
couldn't have been real money.
Who has this type of money?
No, it's definitely Monopoly money. Wrapped with, like, $2 or something.
No, they had $100 bills.
Why give you $200 specifically?
Well.
Because you helped him win? Did you help him win one? You helped him win...
Two.
So he was giving you all the profits.
He was giving me $200 on the second time he won.
Okay.
And I'm using air quotes here, won.
Okay.
He was like, that's your money. You won that. And then the guy who was hosting the game was mm-hmm. like, you can take the money. All you got to do is show me $100. And that then you'll have $300 in your pocket. And I was like, nah, I'm good. Thank you so much. I got to go. Bye.
So you pull out $100, they snatch it, and they run.
Probably punch me in the face. And yeah. It was definitely, I mean, these three people all knew each other. You know what I mean? They're probably doing this to everybody. Who looks like a target. For whatever reason, I look like a big target.
You look like
I didn't
tourist,
make
probably.
I
were you touristing around?
No. We were just walking down Center City on our way to brunch. Like I'm with my girlfriend, like we're just minding our business. There's people everywhere.
Holding your hands, looking around?
I don't think we were holding hands in that moment. No, we were just walking and talking. Like we were walking to brunch. We were actually running a little late, so we were kinda hustling.
Okay. Late to brunch?
Yeah.
I didn't know that
we were late on checkout in the hotel, man. It was crazy. You know what I mean? It's wild. Fucking
what
housekeeper. Like 12. Housekeeper's like banging on the door and shit. I was like, we gotta get out of here. So,
you awake?
We almost overslept. Okay. Yeah, yeah, that's fair. But we didn't get home until like 4 in the morning that night, so.
How long was the drive?
What, from my house to Philly?
Mm-hmm.
Like 3 hours, 2.5 hours. It's not long,
not
far.
No,
not bad at all. Enough to want to get a hotel room,
mm-hmm.
but we also had plans with other people. Anyways, all right, shall I read?
Okay, can I set it up?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes,
yeah, no,
so
please.
Recently, mm-hmm. I have, you know how they say do things that terrify you?
Yeah.
So I joined a contest where you can win some type of money.
No, you didn't.
Okay, I need to do this.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. And what you would do is you would take a revolutionary character and give them some type of, like, story besides what you know. Mm. I took Martin Luther King Jr.
Right.
Now, I did a little piece, but I've been rehearsing it myself, and it just doesn't sound good coming from me. Mm. So I need you to be Martin Luther King Jr. right now and start reading off what I gave you as him. You don't have to do a black voice.
No, and I won't.
Okay. But, I mean, are you open to doing a black voice?
No. No, I can't. You've seen the cancel culture, Michael. I can't. I simply couldn't.
Well, just don't say it's black voice, then. Say it's
Well, you've said it multiple times now, and I feel like me as a white woman, it's not going
to Okay, well, can you add some sass to your voice, then?
I can try.
Okay, perfect.
Do you think he was sassy?
I think this character needs to be a little sassy.
He needs to be a little sassy.
Okay, yes. Okay, so you can pick up your phone now, and please, envision yourself in a nightclub.
A nightclub.
Yes, this is what Martin Luther King Jr. does on his days off.
On his days off. Okay. Yeah,
that's exactly right. Okay.
Sure.
Now, I'll introduce you in, and then you can just start from the top. I don't need that.
Sorry.
I have my own. It's okay. Let me get rid of Robert Downey Jr. off my phone. Okay. Now.
I enjoy that. It wasn't actually Robert Downey. Stop it.
Okay, now, ladies and gentlemen, please, I'd like to introduce you to Martin Luther King Jr. Now, this is where you come in. Okay.
Please, Martin Luther King Jr. is my government name. You cats and kittens can call me Marty K.
All right, Marty K, keep going now. Go ahead now.
All right, now, before we get sexy in here tonight, let's address the elephant in the room. You've seen me on TV talking about every man, woman, and child of every race and religion and how we need to unite and come together. But tonight, all I'm trying to do is pull your... Can you guys keep it down, please? I'm trying to do a speech.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All I'm trying to do is pull your fat butt cheeks apart. You know? See what makes you tick?
All right, Marty. We understand. Go ahead.
Now, if you've never had the pleasure of letting our smooth, soulful melodies molest your eardrums, you're in for a treat.
Oh.
Because we are Marty K and the Equality Bitches.
Oh, that sounds problematic, Marty. Don't do that.
Well, now, let me tell you about these bitches, okay?
Okay.
Jasmine is a 2-time Olympic bronze medalist in rhythmic gymnastics.
Oh, USA. Sometimes racist, but always good. Keep going, Marty.
And Monica here just had a miscarriage. What? 5 days? 6 days ago?
It was more like 2 weeks, Marty. Don't be rude.
2 weeks? You don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Oh, fuck you, Marty. Fuck you, Marty.
Either way, I told you to lay off the cartwheels, but you just had to do them. Maybe next time you'll listen to your boy.
I did hear that cartwheels might give you a miscarriage. That's a fact. He's a doctor.
Thank you. And as for me, the only thing you need to know about me is I have a black book next to my bed, and I put a check mark in it for every orgasm I've ever given a woman. You better believe there's more checks than a Nike sweatshop.
Oh, that's problematic, Martin. You better watch yourself.
Trust me, ladies. When I get these 4 inches in you, it's game over. Michael!
Wait. 4 inches, Marty? That don't seem right.
What's that? Too small? Why would you want an 8 or 9 inch penis? That's a one-way ticket to a yeast infection boulevard.
Oh, I hear they got good schools in that area.
Listen, it's a fat 4, and I don't know if I've said that before. You won't need medical attention, but it will look like someone put a fistful of bacon strips in your underpants. Your lips will be... It's blocked.
Your lips will hate you.
Oh.
Okay.
Your lips will hate you.
The bacon strip one always gets me. Okay, carry on, please.
A fistful of bacon strips.
Yes. Ruined vagina. Carry on, please.
Anyways, tonight is a very special night.
Mm-hmm.
4 inches is perfectly fine for whatever time period we are currently in. Trust me.
I don't know when he was around. I'm going to say 1930s. Continue, please.
Wrong. Okay.
I don't think you know what you're talking about. Continue.
No, I definitely know what I'm talking about. Okay. Now, we're going to dim the lights. Mm-hmm. We are all children of God in here, so please, no hate.
Oh, I love that.
This first song is called Chocolate Ecstasy, followed by Four is Plenty. Then closing out our set, we will play If It's a Problem, Then Walk Your Ass Home.
And scene. I need notes, please, because I think it's a 10 out of 8.
Wait, I'm sorry?
It's beyond what can be measured.
Why wouldn't you do an 11 or a 12 out of 10?
I think the same effect works.
Who measures 1 through 8? Definitely not Martin Luther King Jr., according to yours. No.
4 is plenty.
It feels like projecting.
No, we've been over this.
I, on record, would like to say I had no say in what Michael has written here.
Michael?
Yeah, you're Michael.
Yes, but we did this together.
No, we did not. Don't you lie to me.
We brainstormed this over sushi.
You don't even eat sushi.
I don't. That's why I had a lot of input.
So what type of notes are you looking for here?
Just constructive criticism. Anything that you felt was inaccurate or like...
Inaccurate. Sure. Well, I don't. Did he have a jazz band? Was it jazz?
It was Marty Kay and the Equality Bitches, yes.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say he probably wasn't doing this in his spare time. I do like the idea that a revolutionary leader would also be playing in like small nighttime New York City clubs.
Yeah, basement clubs. You know, loosen the tie, like recover from all the dog bites and the water hoses and just. You know.
Right.
What? Did you just laugh at that? Racism is strong. Go ahead.
Right. So how do you feel about that? Like, do you feel proud?
I don't want to go line by line on this thing, but the...
Yeah, what was your favorite? Let's start there. What was your favorite part other than the bacon, the fistful of bacon strips in the underwear? Which, by the way, have you ever done that?
Put bacon?
Uh-huh. No, a fist... Full of bacon strips. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I think you're missing... It was the... He destroys your vagina so much that your lips look like discarded bacon strips. If I were to visually look at your underwear from outside, it would look like destroyed bacon strips.
From outside of my underwear?
Yes. You're walking around the house in your underwear, and I look at you... And your lips are bruised and punished.
What bacon you eating, bud?
Oscar Mayer.
Oh, my God.
Well, I got money now.
Oscar Mayer's not a good brand.
It's not a bad brand.
It's not even a middle-class brand.
It's low? It's low?
I would say it's low-quality bacon. Yeah, I'm going to say it. I'll say it out loud.
Well, we're not going to get sponsored by Oscar Mayer anytime soon.
No, no, and I canceled them, to be honest.
Did you?
Yeah. What was your least favorite part?
No, my most favorite part was the pulling your fat butt cheeks apart.
Right, the opener.
Yes, because I felt like that set the mood for the whole thing.
Yeah, so what type of club is this, by the way?
Huh?
And what type of club is this that he's sexually
engaging? Like a speakeasy, kind of. One of those clubs where there's always like a...
Speakeasies were long gone when he was around.
I don't think you know when he was around.
When do you think he was around? You said the 30s?
I said 1830s.
1830s.
No, I didn't say that. I think...
1930s is when you think.
It was one of those places.
Do you think he was before World War II or after?
Oh, I mean, first we got to figure out when World War II was.
We don't have to figure out anything.
Oh, troubling time. Sonic the Hedgehog just made his appearance, right?
I don't know. So I can tell you, like, 42, 44, that was around the World War II era.
That's a good
pinpoint,
I guess.
That would definitely be after the 30s.
Marty King was...
Do you know 60? Marty King and Anne Frank?
Yes.
They were in the same era? Did you know this?
I did not know that.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Did she frequent the club, too?
Oh, she was there all the time.
Oh.
That was Jasmine.
Oh. The rhythmic gymnastics two-time bronze medalist.
I told you not to do that. But you didn't want to listen.
Yes. So cartwheels cannot cause that's the one disclaimer.
Cartwheels that's the disclaimer.
May or may not be cause of miscarriages.
And do you know this for a fact, or someone told you, or...
Just...
Can you do a cartwheel?
Oh, no.
When's the last time you did one?
Never.
Never? Is it because it's, like, girly, or...?
Well, yeah. but primarily, you know.
That's not the right answer.
The size. I'm afraid of blowing an ACL doing a cartwheel.
Yeah. God only knows you're on your last one.
Yeah. They grow back, though.
No, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Like a lizard tail.
Scar tissue. Yeah, and how's your new one doing? The one that grew back?
Oh, I mean, between you, me, and God, it's going pretty terrible.
As it turns out. yeah, so which part of that are you most not proud of? You know, what do you think maybe we could have did without?
Did without? You would want me to say the miscarriage part. But, and I asked you, I said, can I talk about that? And you said, it's 2022, you can go for it, Mike. You said, it's what Martin Luther King would have wanted. And I said, okay, and that's when I put that in. Uh-huh. So you did have a hand in this. You just didn't know it.
God only knew where that was going, though.
You were on your way to Philadelphia.
Literally.
So you were...
I'm very distracted.
Exactly. What is this guy talking about?
Dodging pickpockets. Oh, and by the way, the guy who came up to me, his name was Timothy. So forever remember any Timothy ever. I think of him all the time, to be honest with you. At least once a day, I think about Timothy.
And his knife?
And his knife and his interaction with me and everything, really. Mm. So, yeah.
I've never known a good Timothy.
Yeah, me neither. Mm-hmm. You know, I worked with a Timothy who served in the war, and he had really bad PTSD, and he was
war?
A character. The Iraq War.
When was that?
I know he 30s. Served in... I'm going to say 54?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Really.
Yeah. And he was quite the character. Yeah, he had some real troubling issues. I don't know how he's going now.
He's no longer with us, I'm positive.
You think he blew his brains out?
Oh. Oh. Yes.
What did you mean?
I meant he's dead, but I didn't mean suicide.
Oh. I think that's a leading cause of vets' death.
Like the...
Not like the animal characters.
Oh, okay.
Like vets who have served. You know what I'm saying? Like veterans. I'm going to
say like
pretty
snake
sure.
AIDS, probably.
You said snake AIDS?
Yeah, that's how vets die usually.
How many do you know?
Feline leukemia, perhaps. How many vets do I know?
Yeah, how many vets do you know that have died from snake AIDS? And also, how do you contract it?
Holding them. When they shed their... Okay, can I...
This feels like you're spreading propaganda about AIDS because we all know that AIDS has to be transmitted through bodily fluids, right? So if you're just touching AIDS... Princess Diana fought so hard so that she could have everybody understand that AIDS at that time... She shook hands without a glove on to people who had AIDS, Michael.
When did she die?
Early 90s.
Okay. Yes, if a snake has AIDS and it sheds its skin...
How'd the snake get AIDS?
Oh, man. Wild coke-filled parties in the 70s. Anyway, so if he sheds his skin, his scales are very, like, what do you call it? I guess unprotected, you'd say, for, like, the first, like, 5 minutes before they start to hit the oxygen and solidify, you'd say. And if you handle a snake who has AIDS and that five-minute period, you are not it's a rarity, but you might get snake AIDS.
Well, okay, and so do I need, like, if I don't have any open cuts on my hands, do you think I'll still contract snake AIDS?
Possibly. I mean, but you bite your nails and stuff, so I'm sure
I've got open wounds. You're absolutely right. And you know what? And I do handle snakes on the weekends quite often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, human snakes, animal snakes, snakes, like, who wrong me.
Snakes on the plane, boot snakes.
Boot snakes, yeah, absolutely, boot snakes. Yeah, that's how I started, actually. That was my introduction to snakes. So, I wear boots.
You might need to get tested.
Oh, I'm not going to get tested. Why would I do that?
Well, if you start spontaneously hissing, please.
Oh, is that the number one leading symptom?
Yeah, hissing, and then, like, just, like, being a grump.
Uh-oh. 1 out of 2?
Exactly.
Oh, no.
God, I hope you hiss before the end of the...
So, yeah.
Can I be honest with you?
Snake AIDS. Yeah, sure.
That's not true.
What, the snake AIDS?
Yeah.
What do you mean, Michael? It's not true.
Did it sound believable at all?
Oh, my... I was a little bit worried. Like, I wasn't going to do my snake rodeo this weekend because of what you just told me.
Snake rodeo?
Yeah.
Do you just jump on a pile of snakes and see what happens?
Well, and you'd like to think that, right? No. It's a lot more complex than that. So what I do is I ride a bull, and then we ride into the heat of battle with snakes. Someone is blowing up my phone. And we ride into a rodeo. We're surrounded by people wearing snakeskin boots. Mm-hmm. And
you should at least look at that.
Well, my watch says it's my girlfriend's.
Oh, okay. Snake eats! You test their back.
She's like, I just bought the boots for the snake rodeo.
You're positive.
You're dying to get that in.
I just came up. I honestly was not thinking about that at all. It just happened.
No, the hiss, I mean.
Oh, yes, of course.
Well, I mean, of course. Anyways, who cares about how I do my snake rodeos?
Yes.
Irrelevant. Mm. So I found a story online, and there was one that we were going to use in the last episode. We never got to it. I had like three other little tiny stories. Mm-hmm. We'll save those for another day. So the story that I found online was quite long, but I thought it was good. So I'm going to paraphrase it real quick.
Go for it.
It was a 30-year-old woman. She was adopted as a baby. And her whole life, she just, you know, she knew she was adopted, but whatever, she loves her parents. Come to find out, in her teenage years, she tries to find her adoptive or her biological parents. She finds them. And she finds out that throughout her whole childhood and early teenage years, they were trying to reach out to her, but her adoptive parents completely kept deflecting it. Mm-hmm. So when she confronted the adoptive parents and said, hey, like, why didn't you ever tell me that they were trying to reach out to me? Evidently, the biological parents' story was they were teenagers, they couldn't keep her, they knew they weren't going to give her a good life, so they gave her up for adoption. Mm-hmm. The adoptive parents were like, well, we were just really worried that, like, you know, you were going to love them more than us and leave us, and that was our worst fear. Mm-hmm. So we never allowed them contact with you. Mm-hmm. And now the 30-year-old woman is getting married. Mm-hmm. And so she has built a relationship with her biological parents. Mm-hmm. And she decides that she wants her biological father to walk her down the aisle instead of her adoptive father. When she breaks this news to her adoptive father, the two of the adoptive parents say, like, this is our worst dream come true. We can't believe this. I've waited my whole life to walk you down the aisle. Mm-hmm. And if you're not going to let me walk you down the aisle, then don't even bother inviting us. And she said, okay, then you're not invited. Mm. She wants to know, is she an asshole?
1,000,000%.
For not inviting the adoptive parents to the wedding.
1,000,000%.
That's the side you want to go on? Because
God.
I got to take the opposite.
Is that true? You're not just doing it to be contrarian? You actually believe that?
Oh, no. I'm going to take the opposite side of you. Someone has to battle her, like, battle for her. Oh, right? Okay. She's not here.
Yeah.
So you believe that she is the asshole.
Oh, she's a bitch.
Go on.
Okay. These people raised you.
Yes.
The very, very worst that you should have done is have both of them walk you down.
Okay.
But, yeah, the people who raised you, like, fucking, then you let those assholes pay for this wedding. And, like, oh, my God. I'm upset for the parents. That's dirty. And I would have withheld the letters and shit from them, from her, too.
Really?
Yes.
You would have done that, too?
Yeah.
Why?
I'm more to protect you. I'd give them to you probably on your your 18th birthday or something like
would
that.
Would you really, though?
Probably. After you're mature enough mentally to be able to handle a situation like that.
But what if, because according to her, in her teenage years, like her older teenage years, she did look for them and find them. Mm-hmm. So would you have told me at that point then, like before the biological parents got to tell me, like, hey, we've been trying to fucking find you for years, but your adoptive parents have deflected us.
Like, if you would have graduated high school, I would have told you probably on your...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I would have given you a box of those letters and, on, like, your graduation day.
What?
Yeah. I feel like I was protecting you. I was doing you the favor.
From what?
From emotions that you couldn't process because...
So you choose what I can and can't process. So that's what I'm hearing?
I'm your parent, right? Kinda.
Uh-huh. But I'm adopted and you know... Like, I'm aware that I was adopted.
Yes.
So I've always had this wondering suspicion of who my biological parents were. Why would they give me up? What happened? Like, essentially, you allowed me to create these terrible, terrible stories in my head that they didn't love me, they didn't want me, and they gave me up. Mm-hmm. When the reality of the situation was, come to find out, they were teenagers who only wanted me to have a better life.
Now, did I know that?
I'm going to assume yes, probably, because it seems like the parents were intercepting the letters and the reach-outs.
Okay.
So to some extent, as a parent, they had to have known. And granted, they probably knew a little bit when they adopted her, mm-hmm. too, that they were, you know, they're adopting from teenagers or something. I don't know, you know, whether when you're in adoption or not, if they disclose anything about the prior parents.
So take out the two teenagers and put in two drug addicts.
Okay.
Would you feel the same way still? Would you have wanted me to give you all the information if they let you go, not based off of, like, doing what's best for you, but just, like, they couldn't stop doing drugs?
They were adult?
They were adults who just wouldn't stop doing drugs, left you at a fire department or something, and then just went on a drug bender for years, and then finally reached out after they got sober.
It's like, you want to protect your child, right? Mm-hmm. But I also feel like that's not necessarily a decision that you can make. All you can do is try and give your child a safe space to meet the parents, maybe be there if your child's allowed, you know what I mean? Like, kind of is comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they're underage, then you can say, definitely, I'm the guardian, I'm going to be here, mm-hmm. you know, if you want to meet her. Yeah, I think I would probably tell them, maybe not when they're little, I wouldn't tell them the whole story, but I think when they were old enough and kept asking,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I'd probably tell, especially if I knew that my child was trying to find the adoptive parent, I mean, the biological parents.
Do you think they knew she was trying? Because I feel like if you look for your regular parents in front of your adopted parents, that I just feel like you'd keep that secret. You do that by yourself.
Maybe, but I also feel like this is not like a solo thing that happens. Right? I feel like most children who are adopted and are told the truth
mm-hmm.
always have this urge to try and find their biological parents. Like, yeah. I think I would say probably like 8 out of 10 times.
Oddly enough, one of my best friends just reached out and found his biological father.
There you go.
They're gonna have dinner soon, and he keeps saying he loves him, and it makes it really awkward because my friend hasn't said it back to him. But the guy had no kids.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That was the only child he ever had?
Yes.
What was the deal? Why did you give him up?
And
also, where was the mom?
Mom's still there. The mom had...
Oh, this was like an absent father then. So this wasn't like an adoption.
Yeah. Oh, correct.
This was like the father took off, and now he's come back after all these years. That's a very different situation.
Mom got knocked up, left the dad, and then told the dad, this isn't your kid.
Okay.
So now the kid finally got enough information to find his father, tell him, hey, I do exist, and I am yours, to which he is over the moon about.
Wow.
Yeah.
So his mother, he has no contact with his mother?
No, he's still, well, his mom is his mom, yeah. Babysit his daughter and everything.
But you said that she gave him...
No, no, no.
She just told that guy, basically,
yes.
She lied to that guy to get him out of the picture?
Exactly.
Why?
I guess it just wasn't what she wanted at the time.
Wow. So she always told him that, like, his father took off. So essentially that dude did want to be a part of his life.
Well, he probably would have attempted to, but I guess...
But she didn't want him.
Say it was a one-night stand.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like, oh, don't worry, it's not yours. And then she got married, had two other kids with their current husband.
Oh,
and,
shit.
Yes. And this guy is... I mean, like 37 years old, finally reached out and found him. It's like...
How long has he known that wasn't his real father?
He's always known.
Oh.
But it was more like I mean, who cares? Like, he takes care of me and stuff. But
okay, so that guy took care of him for forever, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
As you get older, though, I guess it just matters a little bit.
So if your friend said that he was going to, let's just say, mm-hmm. hypothetically, the father walked the husband down, would it be... bizarre to you to know that he picked his biological father to walk him down versus the one who raised him with...
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Even though that father got slighted. I mean, that wasn't by his choice or anything. I mean, he kind of got pushed out of the picture with his kid.
Yeah, it would still be... It'd be really weird. I feel like that always has to go to the people who raised you.
Really?
It should, right?
I mean, so what if necessarily you're not close with your mother, so you choose to have a different family member walk you down? Does that change anything if there's still blood? Like, what if you don't want that person to walk you down? Like, what if you don't want your father to walk you down? What
if,
like, you
if
choose...
your father was shitty or something?
Yeah, like, you just... Yeah, you were...
If your father was shitty, cool.
Well, let's say he wasn't even shitty. Let's just say that they weren't a great parent. Like, you don't get along with them that well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and instead you choose to have an uncle or a cousin who was a more father figure to you walk you down. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Because they've been in your life.
Correct.
Okay, so they've gained
yes.
your trust and everything, and blood is, you
Yeah,
know.
You're taking, like, the new shiny toy and, like, hey, you want to walk me down the aisle? And then, like, and then not to even invite them?
Which, well, they said they didn't want to be there if they weren't going to be able to walk her down.
They wanted to be there.
Of course they wanted to be there, Jesus.
And then you don't invite... Oh, come on. Do you just not even talk to them anymore?
That's what in the story it said. It said that once she had found out initially that the parents had withheld this from her, she said that they still maintained contact and still kind of kept in touch and stuff, mm-hmm. but the relationship never recovered. And that she started really building a relationship with the biological parents. And then when it came time for her wedding... Mm-hmm. She broke the news to her adoptive parents that she was going to have the biological father walk her down, and they said, well, you know, our worst dream has come true, and
okay.
So if you're not going to, you know, do okay. that, then don't invite us at all.
So they were almost estranged by that point anyway.
I wouldn't say estranged. She just said the relationship, at least on her mm-hmm. end, had never recovered to what it was because mm-hmm. she found out that they lied. That was the only break mm-hmm. for her. Was that after all these years that they had been trying to reach out and they refused it. Because, I mean, essentially they made the choice for her, right? They yeah. decided. And that's where I think it gets really sticky. Like, as a parent, especially of a child who's adopted, mm-hmm. yes, you want to make the best choices for your child to protect them and everything else, but this is something that kind of surpasses you. You know what I mean? At what point do you say, well, it's really up to the kid mm-hmm. what they want to do, you know? And if I've been a good enough parent and they love me enough, then... my love will never fade in their eyes.
You think? I'm sure you have that in the back of your head that, of course, why wouldn't she want to pick her biological family? Like, that just makes sense. I would.
Why? If you're already an adult, if you're already in your teens adult, like, what?
Okay, so is there any point in time that you could have gotten letters and say, like, hey, we held this until you were 16? Is that okay? If you came clean at any time before her finding out, would have been, like, cool? Would that have been any better? Or the second you were deceitful, it was just over.
I mean, here's the thing. If you're reaching out to my 8-year-old, I don't think I'm going to tell my 8-year-old. Mm-hmm. And if I did, I would probably meet the biological parents first. Mm-hmm. That's just me. I would meet them and be like, yo, what's up? What are you trying to do? Blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, because we're dealing with a child right now. You know what I mean? So... Mm-hmm. I need to know what your end game is here. How safe is this situation? Is she ready for this? Is she not? Is this going to harm her in any way? Is it going to be beneficial? I feel like even at 16, that's a huge bomb mm-hmm. to drop.
No, exactly. So 18, then?
I mean, I don't think the age makes a huge difference.
Okay.
I think at any point, it's going to be a huge bomb. Whether it's 18, 21, 25. I think the older you get, the worse it is. That's for sure.
I almost feel as though it's unfair for the parents to look for the kid.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. Like, but at the same time, if you were a person who gave up a child,
yeah,
you're going to look for that
kid. I get it, but I mean, like...
Especially if you had the information, because clearly they had the adoptive information. So this must not have been a closed adoption. Or mm-hmm. That was something else I was thinking about too when I was reading the story. I was like, what were the circumstances? Because mm-hmm. most of the time in adoptions, either the parent, you know, the biological parents have some sort of, mm-hmm. you know... communication
yeah.
or it's a closed adoption. They have no information. They have no child. They have no idea where the child moved to, who they were adopted to, nothing. Mm-hmm. And it would really only be up to the adopted, you know, the child to find them.
Yes.
So I don't know. I don't know what the circumstances were. It was bizarre.
Oh, it kind of angers me. Yeah. I wouldn't look for the kid. I'd wonder, I'd think about it, but I'd never, like I've never met my father. Never took one like step towards looking for him.
Really?
Not one.
When I was like 12, I found out I had two half sisters, and I immediately looked them up and found them.
Really?
Yeah, and reached out to them. Reached out to their mom, and then they were like, yeah, sure, you can talk to them.
And then what?
Yeah, then we spoke. They live in different states. Well, one of them lives in Jersey now, and then the other one lives somewhere down south.
Do you have any type of relationship
no.
at all?
No.
So, was it worth it?
I think it was worth it because I got to find out. And I got to know that there was two other people who were also my father's kids. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't bother me. We don't have a relationship. I don't think it was like a either which way. But it was cool. It was cool to know. And I was glad that I was told the truth.
Okay.
I think that was the other thing. Although I wasn't actually told. I found out on accident because I found a picture of my grandfather and my father's side holding me and another baby. Mm. And another family member who didn't know that I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I was like, who is this in the picture with me? And they're like, oh, that's your half-sister. And I was like, huh?
Uh-oh.
And they were like, wait, what? And I was like, wait, what? I have a sister? And she was like, oh, you've got two. And I was like, what? And then I told my mom. And then that person got reamed out by my mom.
Oh, 100%.
Really? You'd be mad?
Well, you don't... yeah.
See, but, like, I was told, like, about my dad dying, like, at a young age, so I don't know, mm-hmm. like, you know what I mean? It's, like, the weird withdrawals of information is so bizarre, you know what I mean? Like, we'll tell you about this, but we won't tell you about this, and then, like, I always wonder, like, if I hadn't found that picture, would I have ever been told?
Never.
Really?
Never.
That would make me so mad!
But why would it even matter?
I mean, it's like, just the fact that you're lying about something that pertains to me to mm-hmm. a point, you know what I mean? There are two other people who share half of my DNA.
And that's a need-to-know basis?
Well, what if I needed a kidney?
These strangers are going to just give you a kidney?
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't give it to them.
So, I feel like you've got your answer there.
I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think if I had been, you know, withheld, like, I found that at, like, 12. Mm-hmm. But if I found out now at 30, I'd be pretty pissed.
Really?
I'd be like, what the fuck were you holding this information for? Like, what were you saving me from?
It's almost like, what are you going to do with it?
Find them. See and what they look like. Do we look alike? Do they know anything that I don't?
Have
like,
you seen them?
Yeah, I've seen them. And I've actually met one of them.
You look alike?
One of them was never proven that they were my father's kid. but my grandparents signed off and said that they believed it.
Okay.
The other one had a DNA test and was proven. Because they couldn't test the other one. They had found she had come forward after the fact and just said that's his kid.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandparents were like, okay, if you say so, we're not going to fight you.
Okay.
But the first ones, they had a DNA test, so. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't think it made any bit of difference in your life whatsoever.
I think it did, especially when I was younger. It was pretty cool to know that I had two half-siblings. I think maybe now I don't really give a shit, mm-hmm. but I think it's also because I've had this information for years, got to do what I wanted with it and digest it. Had I found out now at 30, I'd be pissed.
Really?
Like, why didn't you tell me this at, like, 25? Why didn't you tell me this at 20? Like, what were you trying? I can understand if you had withheld it till 18 or 20, maybe, until I got older.
Mm-hmm.
But at what point? Like, how much other shitty... That's, I think that would be where it starts. Then all of a sudden, it's a snowball.
Okay.
Now it's like, well, what else have you not told me?
That,
how much
that.
More have you withheld? You know what I mean? That mm-hmm. that you thought was worthless information, but I could have found really valuable. You didn't let me make a choice. Let's mm-hmm. put it like that.
Okay. Look at us having a grown-up conversation.
It's very rare on this podcast.
Hey.
We went from snake AIDS to...
to some heavy shit, y'all. It was heavy.
Heavy hitters. Yeah. I think we could probably wrap it right there, right?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We're on a bit of a time budget here.
Yeah.
So just for the listener, one of the reasons that Michael and I are... we've slowed down on the podcast is... We no longer work in the same location together.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm going to be leaving this location as well, so Michael is going to have to come to my house all the time.
Mm. Once every 2 months. We will record and I'll get a sandwich.
Yes, that's what he thinks. And so we just want to say happy late Black History Month. That's with love from Michael and his Martin Luther King Jr. speech. And we will see you next month. And we love you. Bye.
Bye.